Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the church and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later today or in the week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 124, hymn 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 67. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all peoples praise you. Let nations rejoice and shout in triumph. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you this new day as your people. We come to praise you with joy and thanksgiving for your love and care, for your goodness and mercy. Gracious God, even as we praise your holy name, we are moved to confess that we have strayed and wandered from you. Forgive us. We confess we have failed you, forgotten you in our words and in our actions, our thoughts and our plans. Forgive us. Lord God, be with us in every experience of life. When we neglect you, remind us of your presence. When we are frightened, give us courage. When we are tempted, give us power to resist. When we are anxious or worried, give us peace. When we are tired and weary, give us new strength and zeal. Gracious God, let the peoples praise you, and let nations rejoice before you. For you are the one who reigns in glory, and whose promises shall never fail. These things we ask in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and together we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Firstly, a word of thanks to everyone who supported Christian Aid, either by giving an envelope back here in the church or donating money online. There's been a very good response, so thank you, everyone. Following the service today, there'll be a further time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel. You're very welcome to join us there. And likewise, if you would like us to pray for anyone, then please do write their name on a card which you'll find in the Memorial Chapel, and you can either attach it to the prayer tree or put it in the box provided next to the tree. There'll be a service in Eccles Court this coming Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and the craft group will meet in the parish halls on Thursday again at 2. The 8 Stirling St. Ninian's Company of the Boys Brigade Awards Night will be held in the church this coming Friday at 7 o'clock. That's always a very happy occasion. It also gives us an opportunity to thank the officers for their commitment throughout another session. And this year, we want to express a very special word of thanks to Mr. Jack Unsworth, one of our own elders, who is retiring from the company after many, many years of dedicated service. So thank you, Jack, for all that you have done for our company with the Boys Brigade. But no doubt you'll be waiting on with the executive and continuing to support this great organisation. But please do know how grateful we are for your service over all these years, including the annual camp at Tinnebruch, which many of us remember attending. Now, also on Friday at 7 o'clock, there's a charity concert in aid of Chaz, and that's in Park Church, and the entertainment will be provided by students from the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. So that's a charity concert in aid of Chaz in Park Church, also this Friday from 7 to 8. Now, from 2 weeks today, tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the church after the service. The fellowship tea on the third Sunday of the month will continue in its present format, but we think it's important to provide hospitality and opportunity for us to spend some more time together on the other Sundays, and also an opportunity to welcome visitors. So that will be from 2 weeks today, and if you would like to help with that, please put your names on the sheet of paper that's out on the table in the main vestibule of the church. And that's all the intimations. I wonder if any of you have ever had to move from a town or a city or even a country to another town or city or country? Hands up if you have. Quite a few people. Yes, quite a few. Moving to another place can sometimes be difficult, and for children it can be particularly hard. I want to tell you a very short story about a boy called Mark. Mark's father got a new job, which was good, but it meant the family were going to have to move from the city they lived in to another city, quite far away. However, it was decided, since it was near the end of the school year, that Mark should remain behind until the school year had finished. That was very difficult for Mark to do. But his dad explained, listen, you'll be all right. The rest of the family will go to the new city and we'll find a new home, a home that will be ready for you when it's time for you to come and join us. And Mark's dad also said, now, you're not to worry, because we've arranged for friends to look after you and care for you and to make sure you have everything that you need. And that indeed is what happened. There's a sense in which there's a similarity between what Mark's family did and what Jesus has done for us. Before Jesus returned to be with his Father in heaven, he said that he was going to prepare a place for us, and that one day he would come and take us to our new home in heaven. And that is a great comfort, that when our time here on earth draws to a close, it's not the end. We go to a new home with Jesus forever. However, this world and this life is important too. And therefore, Jesus said, we're not to be anxious without him being physically present with us, because he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would come and watch over us and be with us always. And the Holy Spirit would be our guide and be our strength. But more than that, before he left, Jesus gave to his first followers, and by implication to us today, a very special gift. He said, my peace I give to you, to each and every one of you. And that peace we can know when we listen to Jesus and when we make him our Saviour and our friend. Amen. We're going to sing hymn 559, 559, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
Today's first reading is taken from Revelations at chapter 21, and it can be found in the New section, New Testament section on page 231, starting at verse 10. So in the Spirit he carried me away to a great and lofty mountain and showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God. And at verse 22, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple was the sovereign Lord God and Lamb. The city did not need the sun on the moon or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and to it the kings of the earth shall bring their splendor. The gates of the city shall never be shut by day, nor will there be any night there. The splendor and wealth of the nations shall be brought into it, but nothing unclean shall enter, nor anyone whose ways are foul or false. Only those shall enter whose names are inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel said, showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city street. On either side of the river stood a tree of life, which yields 12 crops of fruit, one for each month of the year. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Every accursed thing shall disappear. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see him face to face and bear his name on their foreheads. There shall be no more night, nor will they need the light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they shall reign forever. Second reading is taken from the book of John at chapter 14, and it can be found on page 93, section of the New Testament Bible. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will heed what I say. Then my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. But whoever does not love me does not heed what I say, and the word you hear is not my own, it is the word of the Father who sent me. I have told you these things for while I am here, for I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace is my parting gift to you. My own peace, such as the world cannot give. Set your troubled hearts at rest and banish your fears. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may have faith. Amen."
Thank you, Christine. We sing the hymn 396, hymn 396. This is the hymn we were going to sing last week, but you remember we sang Summer Suns Are Glowing instead, and perhaps just as well that we did take that opportunity, but I'm sure the good weather will return. It's actually not too bad today, just a wee bit breezy, but we can cope with that. So 396, we're going to omit verse 4. Omit verse 4 of hymn 396. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all the nations, as we approach your eternal throne, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we rejoice in the vision we have been given of your eternal kingdom. A kingdom where there shall be no more crying or pain. The nations will be as one, and we will see your face. God of peace, we pray for your continued presence in our lives, and we ask that you would strengthen our faith, deepen our love for you and for one another, and empower us through the Holy Spirit. God of all the nations, we pray for those in need of your healing touch, for those who are sick in mind or in body, for those who carry heavy burdens, for those who seek direction for their lives, and for all who mourn. Comfort them with your presence, and may they know your peace. God of all the nations, we are horrified by recent events in Gaza, and our hearts break as we see children suffering and dying. It should not be happening. And so, with all your people, we pray. We pray earnestly for an end to conflict. And we ask, O God, that wherever there is oppression, injustice, or violence, such things will cease, and people live in peace and in harmony. God of peace, as we give thanks for your faithful people in every time and place, we pray for the church today. Strengthen our witness. Renew our vision. And enable us to proclaim your truth, to share your love, and to shine as lights in the darkness. God of all the nations, you are the rock of our salvation. May your peace dwell in our hearts, and let us, amidst the storms that can sometimes seek to engulf us, know within a calmness that comes because you are with us, watching over us, and journeying every step of the way. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. What a world it is, isn't it? Terrible, really, when you see these images, and it's the children emaciated, going without. I read of one doctor, I think it was earlier this morning, who out there in Gaza has lost 9 children. 9 of his 10 children have died in the war. It really is awful. Surely the day will come when the politicians will seek peace for the good of all. Thank goodness we can pray about such things. And of course, there is great power in prayer. Let us continue our worship of God, hymn 565, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. A Sunday school teacher was talking to her class about the end of time and the vision that we read in the book of Revelation, that vision of a new heaven and a new earth. And the Sunday school teacher spoke about the crown of glory that awaits the people of God. And then she asked the children, who do you think will get the biggest crown? There was silence for a moment, and then one bright youngster shouted out, the one who has the biggest head. The youngster in that story probably knows as much as any of us about the exact shape of things to come. But from that vision in the book of Revelation, we know this. At the end of the age, Christ will reign triumphant over all things. Sin and death will be no more, and Christ's love will light up every heart. The faithful will drink of the water of life, and there will be everlasting peace. Here is a vision that has inspired and given comfort and strength to God's people in every age. But let us ask, is there a way in which we can have a foretaste of the delightful inheritance that awaits us? Can we touch and experience some of it now, here in this world and in this age? Today's gospel reading is set at the time of the Last Supper, which took place the night before Jesus died. And as they shared bread and wine, Jesus told the disciples that soon he would leave them. And naturally, they felt concerned and anxious, and no doubt a little frightened. And Jesus knew this, and therefore he endeavoured to reassure them that everything would be okay. And he gave them a promise of peace. Hear again what he said. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It is a peace the world cannot give. I remember my own minister of blessed memory often saying the peace that Christ gives is both personal and precious, and it is. It is not the peace of the church that Jesus gives. It is not the peace of some other body or group or institution. It is Christ's own unique peace. Note how he said, my peace. It is his own peace that he imparts and gives to his followers. And how precious is that peace? But some may ask, well, what is this peace that Jesus gives? Tell us about it. In his letter to the church at Philippi, and we get the impression that it was a church that was very dear to St. Paul's heart, Paul spoke about the peace that is beyond all understanding. It surpasses knowledge. But surely, my friends, we can still say something about it. An artist was once commissioned by quite a wealthy man to paint something that would depict peace. Now, think about it for a moment yourselves. If you were asked, just imagine you're a wonderful artist. I'm sure there are some good artists here. But just imagine you were asked, right, paint something that will convey a sense of peace, real peace. I wonder, what would you paint? Well, this particular artist painted a beautiful country scene. There were green fields with sheep grazing contentedly. There were birds in the blue sky and a lovely little village in the distance. The artist finished the picture and gave it to the man. But there was a look of disappointment on the man's face. The man said to the artist, "This isn't a picture of true peace. Go back and try again." Well, the artist returned to his studio and thought for a while about peace, and then he went to his canvas once more and started to paint. And when he finished, there was on the canvas a beautiful picture of a mother holding a sleeping baby in her arms, smiling tenderly at the child. He thought, surely this is true peace, and he took the painting to the man. But again, the man wasn't impressed, and he asked the painter to try again. The artist returned to his studio discouraged and disappointed. And he thought for what seemed like an eternity. And he even prayed for inspiration. Then all of a sudden, an idea came. He rushed to the canvas and began to paint in a way that he had never painted before. And when he finished, he hurried to the man and he gave the painting to him. The man studied it carefully for several minutes and then he said, "This is a picture of true peace." But what you'll be wondering, I'm sure, was this picture of true peace? Should I tell you? Or will I leave you wondering? The picture was one of a great storm, with the sea roaring in turmoil, the wind howling, and lightning illuminating the dark sky. And in the middle of the picture, under a cliff, the artist had painted a small bird, safe and dry in her nest, snuggled safely in the rocks. The bird was at peace amidst the storm that raged about her. Here, my dear friends, is a taste of the peace that Jesus Christ gives. A peace that is not of this world. The peace of knowing that in the midst of the storm that life can sometimes be, there is a rock where we can shelter, a place where we find refuge, and one who covers us with his wings to keep us safe. Isn't this what we need and long for? But so often we do not find it, because instead of fixing our eyes upon Jesus and believing his promises, We focus on the things of this world. Fear and conflict and turmoil. And we allow such things to take root and to find a home in our very being. With the result, we lack that peace. That peace that is personal and precious, and that is Christ's gift to us. In Hebrew, peace is the word shalom. And shalom is much more than the absence of things that cause us to be anxious or troubled or disturbed. The Hebrew word for peace, the peace that the Bible speaks of, is one that comes from knowing we are loved by God and our sins are forgiven. It is a peace that transcends all earthly circumstances. What a peace that comes from knowing that we are loved by God and our sins are forgiven. That is the peace that Jesus Christ gives to you and to me. But contrast this with the peace that the world offers. What does the world say? You want to find peace? Then treat yourself to whatever you want. Go on. Splash the cash. Buy that car. Buy that house. Go on that expensive holiday. Surround yourself with material possessions. Pursue success and be successful. Then you will find peace. It sounds good, doesn't it? Isn't this the tempting sound we hear the world cry to us? But it's a lot of nonsense. For the peace that such things give does not last. It is superficial and fragile. It is temporary. And when the storm clouds gather, when trouble or sickness or sorrow come, what do such worldly things offer us then? Nothing. The tale of the Old Testament character David, a shepherd to kings and souls, consists of significant spiritual highs and lows, starting life as a humble shepherd, a boy who defeated a giant. He eventually ascended to the throne of Israel, where he grappled with the weight of his own mistakes. David's Psalms offer a glimpse of a man who knew where to find solace when faced with adversity. His peace did not come from an absence of threats or obstacles, but rather from the reassuring presence of the Lord in whom he trusted. Here lies the way to peace. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We experience life like everyone else, and we are not exempt from the storms that can sometimes seek to engulf us. But we have Christ's promise that he will be with us. And when we take this promise to heart and really absorb it and believe it and hold on to it, then we can know a calm and a peace that truly does pass all understanding. John's vision of a new heaven and a new earth is indeed one to inspire and encourage and strengthen us, as it has countless numbers in every time and place. But we here and now get a foretaste of what is to come. For more than a destination that provides us direction, more than a vision that gives us hope, more than a goal that keeps us active, we have a presence here and now, the presence of Christ himself. And this goes far beyond even the picture by the artist of the birds sitting safely in the nest in the midst of a violent storm. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May you all know the peace of Christ today and every day. Amen. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, the hymn 737, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life."
Thank you.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore.